Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast. You know, we're fully listener supported, which means that we can't do the work that we're doing unless we have your support. Please pray about becoming a monthly partner to this ministry. We are affecting the lives of many people by the grace of God, and in order for us to expand or even to stay doing what we're doing, we need your help. Thank you so much for prayerfully considering to become a partner. We truly appreciate you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper, oh. And now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is.
Fear is-
because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know. Because he lives.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Sunday service. I'm so glad to be back. I know the last couple of weeks we've had different types of Sunday services because there's just been a lot going on. We had our conference at the Remnant Revival Center. Many of you came out. It was a time unlike anything I've experienced. Those of you that were there that watched online, you know what I'm talking about. Very special time. And it really stirred my spirit. It really showed me that there's so much in store, that God is not done moving, as we knew that, but it's just to see him moving in such a tangible way, such a sweet presence of his Holy Spirit. And so I am encouraged. I'm strengthened in my faith. Friday night, we talked about vision, and I'm going to get into that just a little bit before I get into the message, but vision 2024, hashtag vision 2024. We are going to be doing some incredible things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just feel led of the Lord to step out of the boat, to look at Jesus in the eye, and to walk on the water. And what the Lord is telling me is this is a season of extreme growth. Now, let me say this. It's not going to be the extreme growth where we turn into a mega church and we're just like everybody else. That's not what we're going to do. God is putting together an end time remnant army. We call it the Underground Railroad for the remnant. There's many facets. There's many layers. If you didn't see Friday night service, please go and check it out. I kind of laid all these things out. But I feel very strongly that God is about to move in an accelerated way because the hour is late. Things are speeding up. 2024 is a very, it's going to be a bumpy year. And there is a lot of things that we have to be prepared for. They're going to pull everything. They're going to try to do whatever they can to stop a free and fair 2024, if you know what I mean. And there's going to be lots of other things that happen. So we have to put our armor on. We've got to be prepared in our mind, physically, mentally. I'm actually going to the gym, getting physically fit. I just think it's wisdom in this hour to be in good health. I'm eating healthy. We all should take care of the temple if we can. Try to get as much sleep as you can. Spend time with your loved ones. Make sure you have quality time and that you're enjoying each moment because we are going into a new season. And so just want to put that on your radar, intercessors, prayer warriors, remnant warriors, as you pray and as you seek the Lord. I know many of you are getting similar type of downloads. Just share with me what the Lord is speaking to you and how we can be standing with you. But I think this is very important. It's definitely a new season. We've definitely gone into new ground, new territory. And as I often say, it's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. So with that being said, let's go ahead and pray and get into this morning's message. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for today. We invite your presence to meet us, just to speak to our hearts. We're thankful that we get to come together online and all around the world and be a part of what you're doing in the ecclesia and the body of Christ in the remnant. And so we just say, let us have the ears to hear. Let us have the eyes to see. Speak to our heart as we continue in this very critical study of the book of Romans. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sorry, I was just looking at my clock over here because I kind of go over a few times and we have to keep the broadcast within an hour because we send it out to the radio and the TV and everything. But we don't have to do that in person. So when we're at the RRC, we have no time constraints. And when I have in-person meetings, in fact, I've learned we just go until the Holy Spirit says stop. And, you know, that might at some point be going in through the night and, you know, for a week straight, who knows, you know, so be ready. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. God is doing a new thing. People are going to be converging from all over the nation to get set free, healed, and delivered. and experience the presence of the living God, not by any power of mine, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and us allowing him to move in the services. Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be reading the first chapter. Romans 3:23 is where we're going to start. Let me just read from my notes here. We're embarking on this spiritual journey, and we're doing the path that's called the Romans Road. Have you heard of the Romans Road? It's the road to salvation, and it refers to the section of verses from the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans that outlines the fundamental tenets of our salvation as believers in Jesus Christ. And what does it actually mean? And the Romans Road, for those of you that are hard for, you know, have a heart for street evangelism, Romans Road is going to be your go-to. This is how you really explain salvation and you get to what God is looking for. And it's a tool that many use for street evangelism. So just an FYI, if you're a street evangelist like me, and it's a way to understand why we need salvation, how God provides salvation, how we receive salvation, and what are the consequences of our salvation. What does it mean? So it's derived from a foundational scripture in the book of Romans, just as Romans, you know, is a very, you know, if you think about Rome, they had a real intricate road system. Did you know that about ancient Rome? They had a real high-tech, for that time, system of roads, and that's actually one of the strengths of the former Roman Empire. And so, you know, very connected empire. And so these verses, they connect the crucial doctrines of sin, justification, eternal life, and they guide us through what I call like the heartbeat or the heart of our faith in Jesus Christ as a follower of Yeshua. So let's go ahead and read Romans 3:23. And this is the need for salvation. Why do we need salvation? It says this: for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, this is something that I often talk about to what I call self-righteous super saints that think that they have no sin. And they're, you know, there's a lot of these people online. They're like basement theologians, you know, and they like to correct every single thing. And by all means, like, correction is not bad and it's good for us to sharpen each other. But some of these people are really mean-spirited and they're just really, they remind me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where they just, they have a spirit of religion and they just right off the bat are very rude, disrespectful. You're a false teacher. You're a false prophet. You're false. You know, there's a lot of that vitriol online, and that's not the love of Jesus Christ. You know, if there's a correction that's being brought in love, somebody would reach out and they would say, you know, my brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate the ministry God has given you. I know you have a good heart. Let me just bring something up if I can. I noticed that you posted this and I just wanted to bring to your attention this scripture that says this, you know, maybe something to pray about because it seems like you may have posted something incorrectly and maybe you didn't realize it, but I just wanted to bring this to your attention because I care about you. That is a loving way to bring correction. And I think there's a lot of mean-spirited religious Pharisees online that are saying things very rude, very mean. And by the way, not just online. It happens in churches. You know, people have lost respect. They've lost honor. They don't respect the office anymore. You know, when I'm around other pastors, people say, why do you call them pastor this or pastor that? You know what? I do that to honor them, just like I do to a doctor, you know, Dr. So-and-so. You know, it's a term, it's an honor. And you're honoring the office. You're honoring the office of a pastor or the office of a fivefold ministry gifting. And so I don't have a problem, you know, using the term pastor before a name because to me it's a form of honor. It's not a requirement. I mean, obviously we, you know, I don't mind if somebody calls me Todd. It's fine. You know, I'm not going to correct you or anything like that. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that it's an honor. Now, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. You've sinned. I've sinned. I often say I'm far from perfect. I try to say it almost every message because there's so many people that think a pastor sitting on a high horse. I'm not. And neither are you. Neither are any of us. We have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, the good news is because of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, what happened is he connected us back to a holy God. Praise God. Without that, we would have had to do all the rituals and all the different things that they did, you know, for atonement of our sins in the Old Testament, like ancient Israel did. And of course, with the temple and everything, you know, the tabernacle and all that. But now we're in the new covenant. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And because we're new covenant believers, which I think is a very blessed thing, because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've got, the atonement of sins by the blood. And so, but we've got to recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been connected back to a holy God. And that's what that means. And it reminds us that every person has sinned. No one is perfect. And this imperfection separates us from God. And sin is not, just a problem for someone else. It's a problem for you and I. And we all need salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why we accept him in our heart and we believe in our heart. And we confess with our mouth and we live in a way that produces good fruit and we repent of our sins. Amen. The second one, the consequences of sin, the consequences of sin. This is Romans 6:23. And it says this: for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So there is a price to be paid for sin. If you were an evangelist, if you ever wondered how you present the gospel message to somebody, this is how. So first you tell them, look, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. No one is perfect. I know some people have tried to pretend like they're perfect and they maybe some Christians out there have hurt you or been rude to you, but I want to tell you, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're a sinner in need of a Savior. And I've seen some evangelists online do a really good job with this, where they explain, have you lied in your life? Yes, I've lied. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Yes, I've stolen something. Have you ever gotten angry? Yes, I've gotten angry. And they go through a litany of sins. Have you ever been gluttonous? Have you ever cursed? Have you, just all these different things. And then they say, so you're a sinner. And the person will be like, well, I guess I am if I'm held to the standards of the Bible. And they say, so we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Now they bring in the second point. There's a consequence to that sin. There's a consequence to sin. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. Now I want to tell you something. Many of you see people, friends, family members, spouses, people that you think are being blessed, and they're living a worldly, sinful lifestyle. Let me tell you how that goes. Satan's going to leave them alone. Not that he's not, orchestrating their steps and leading them into a destructional path. Of course he is. But the deal is they're like the frog that's slowly boiling in the hot water, and they don't realize they're on their way to hell. And by the way, there's going to be a consequence for the sins. If you notice, it never ends well for those type of people. So they think they're winning. They may have the riches of this world. They may have fame. They may have notoriety like many people in Hollywood. But if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's going to be a price that needs to be paid for that sin. Now, Jesus paid the price, but we have to receive the free gift of salvation. That's how we have to explain it, is that, it's available to you. It's a free gift. And we're saved by grace, not by works, although faith without works is dead. We're saved by grace, and it's available to everybody. But the deal is there's consequences of sin. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Paul is presenting a very stark reality here. The penalty for sin is death, but he contrasts this with a message of hope and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you so thankful for life in Jesus Christ, for salvation? I mean, he saved a bad dude like me. I was on my way to hell. I thought I had things figured out. I thought I knew what was going on. I often tell people, it's not like I walked away from an unsuccessful life in the world. From the world standards, I was doing great. I had money. I had notoriety. I had friends. I had, all different types of accolades from society, but I was inside broken, and I knew that there was something wrong. And I knew that I could not live my life that way, because inherently inside of me, I knew I was living a lifestyle of sin. And I ultimately knew that I was doing wrong in the eyes of the Lord. I was committing sin. I was committing, fornication, different things like that. I needed to get saved. I was a bad guy. I was mean spirited sometimes. I know people don't realize that now. They're like, how did the world, God did a complete heart change in me. He completely changed my life. I mean, there's no way I could go back to being that guy again. God completely changed my life, but that's because of the Holy Spirit. Number three, Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. It says this: the provision of salvation. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There, the Lord goes after the one. He leaves the 99. He called you by name. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you've accepted the Lord, that was the plan for your life. God knew that you were going to accept him, but you are a free will individual. And so you had to make the decision. And if you haven't made that decision yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Because you know what? There's no better day than today to receive Jesus. Don't wait another day. The hour is so late. You know, now is the time. Change your life today if you're in sin. God wants to redeem you. God wants to restore you. He wants to restore what the locusts try to devour. He wants to make your crooked path straight. He wants to take you out of a life of sin and death and bring you into the light and life of Jesus Christ. It's a game changer. There will never be another bigger decision that you make on this earth other than accepting Jesus Christ. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a few minutes. So there's consequences of sin. There's a need for salvation. And there's provision by salvation. We find the heart of the gospel here. God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us in our place, while we were still immersed in sin. That's the most famous scripture out there, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. And God, he did that. He gave his son for you as the eternal sacrificial lamb. Thank you, Jesus. He's done it for your relatives that aren't saved yet. He's done it for your prodigals that have not come to know Jesus yet. Hold on, hang tight. Keep praying for them. While we were still sinners, he died for us. And that's very important that we understand there's a provision there. Now, here's the deal. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. This is the path or the way to get saved. People say, how do I get saved? Or how do I tell somebody to get saved? You may be a newer believer and you maybe raised your hand in a church service somewhere or somebody led you to the Lord. How did you become to be a believer in Jesus Christ? Everybody on here has a little bit different story. I was in a Honolulu convention center, and even though I had been raised in the church in many aspects and my parents had a very rocky marriage and, you know, very violent in the home. I mean, not physically so much, but very, you know, a lot of yelling and fighting and screaming as a child. And, you know, I witnessed. And so I rebelled. I went into Hollywood. That's a whole long story. If you've never heard my testimony, it's available on my website. But the thing is, and that's pastortodd.org. But here's the deal, guys, is that God already died for us. He prepared a way for my family. He had a plan for us and our life. He had a calling for us. And there is a path, whatever path it is that you got there, you're here today. You know, it's no mistake that you're listening to this broadcast. It's no mistake that you've tuned in today. God has brought you here. He's brought us together for such a time as this. He's called you. You have a calling. Many of you are growing. I've watched it in this last season. I've seen people really stepping up. I have some friends out in the Carolinas that I talk to pretty often. I've seen it from like one day we sat down in a restaurant here in Nashville, and it was like they were at a whole different place in their life at that time. And now fast forward like maybe 2 years, I mean, they're like ministers. They're out there prophesying and speaking the word of God and going on mission trips. They took a fast acceleration. Why? Because they were willing to get in to the river of living water. They were hungry. They hungered and thirsted for righteousness, and they said, I'm all in. This is it. I've made my mind up. I've made my decision. People say, how long does it take? You don't have to wait 20 years. You don't have, you know, I've been a pastor for like 25 years now or something, you know, and that's great. And, you know, I think it's a blessing that God has sustained me and I'm able to say that. But I'm going to tell you, if you've been in the Lord for 2 years, God will accelerate you. Now, here's the deal, though. You've got to study yourself to be approved. You got to make sure that you get into the scripture. You got to know the word of God. That's how you get to know God. He says, faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. That's why he gave us his word. And his word is the most important word we're going to need. It's to know God, to know him and to make him known. Jesus is the word. We're a very word-focused ministry because we know that I've never seen a person that loves the word be unsuccessful in life. If you're a lover of the word, you're going to be successful on this earth and for all eternity. So God is going to order your steps and you're going to know God. You're going to know how he thinks. You're going to know who he is, and you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. All right. So the way to salvation, Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you declare from your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. I'm going to say that again. Declare it from your mouth. There's life and death are in the power of the tongue. You declare it. Jesus, I declare, you are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You make that public declaration. Why do you think we ask people, raise your hand, come forward? You know, people get nervous and they say, I don't want to join a club or I'm nervous about this. Listen, you're making a public declaration before the Lord. declaration saying, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When you do that before man, he'll do that before the Father. It's very important. The angels rejoice when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You believe it in your heart. You got to get rid of the doubt. We got to get rid of the doubt. I got to get rid of doubt. When doubt tries to creep in, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It says without faith, you can't even please God. It's literally impossible, but with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. We're talking about big faith, extreme growth, big faith, because we're believing that the hour is late. We're stepping out of the boat. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're in God's economy, not the world's economy. And we are pressing ahead in victory, knowing that God is with us until the end of the age. We're going to occupy until he comes. We're going to trust in God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing for miracles and signs and wonders and a great move of God in this end time hour. I am encouraged in my faith. I want to tell you something, how fired up I am about what God is doing. People say, Todd, you're tired, you're weary. I'm not. I am strengthened in my faith. I'm telling you, we've been seeing God moving in ways that I haven't seen in all the years of ministry. I've never seen so many people hungry. I've never seen God's hand on this ministry like it is right now. I'm telling you, he's doing stuff. We're building a new app that's going to have all different types of capabilities and messaging capabilities. And we're moving forward in the vision of the Lord, because we know that as we show up and step our foot forward, God responds. God responds to our faith. He responds to our obedience. And in your personal life and in your situation, what God is speaking to you, what he's sharing in your heart, make sure you follow through. Make sure you listen to that still small voice. Make sure you hear the voice of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. The path to salvation. Now, here's the thing. For it is your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Some people have said, well, you have to get baptized to get saved. Look, it's a commandment of the Lord. If you have not been submerged, in water, get baptized. Get baptized. It's an outward expression of an inward change. But people say, well, don't you need to get baptized to be saved? Here is the verse that I will tell you really blows that whole theory up. And I know there's a whole segment of the church that believes you must be baptized to enter in heaven. It is a commandment of the Lord. But remember, there was the guy on the cross next to Jesus. He didn't get baptized. And they have a whole way to explain that away. But the deal is, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say, and then you got to be baptized. No, it doesn't say that. No, it does say be baptized. And it's a commandment of the Lord. It's an outward expression of an inward change. People say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, sure, but what you're doing is it says one must be baptized by water, but I'm also going to baptize you by fire. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit found in Acts chapter 2. So you want to be baptized in fire. Some people are really fired up, and you can just sense the anointing on them. Other people are dead as a doornail. Why? They haven't been baptized by fire. So we're going to talk about that soon, if you haven't been baptized by fire, and that's going to explain to you what that actually means. But there's a way to salvation. And so Jesus is Lord, and we believe it in our heart, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, and that's how we're going to be saved. And so number five is the assurance of salvation. This is found in Romans 8:1 and Romans 8:38-39. The assurance of salvation. This is important. You've got to have an assurance and know you're saved. Well, how do I know I'm saved? People always ask me, how do I know I'm saved? Pastor, I'm not sure. I've raised my hand like 10 times. I'm not sure. I feel dirty. Listen, if you've confessed with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you've repented, you've turned from your past lifestyle, because otherwise you didn't really make the change. If God is going to send his Holy Spirit to live in your heart, which he does, because it says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He stands at the door of our heart knocking, and all we have to do is let him in. So we let him in, and then he's in our heart. We're not going to want to live that sinful lifestyle. We're not going to want to do that repetitive sin, because we love him more. We love him more than the sin. You know, there was a time when I was caught up in sin, and I'd already become a Christian. But, there were areas in my life, and I'm not saying I'm perfect now, but I'm just saying I live a pretty consecrated life. But, there were areas in my life which I knew didn't please the Lord. And you know what? It came down to it where I said, do I love God or do I not love God? Because the scripture says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. The Christians that pretend that they got it all figured out, that they haven't no sin in their life. Of course we have sin in our life. Of course we do. We got to die to our flesh daily. We got to make sure that we understand what that means. So there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. No condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. God, look, he said he's given us a system of checks and balances. He says that he will not give us a sin that is so tempting that it's going to overcome us. There's nothing that's going to overcome that. You know, we have an opportunity to resist the devil every single time. There will never be a sin that's too powerful that we simply can't find the strength in Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. But what I've learned, you got to ask the Lord for strength. There's going to be times where you're really disappointed in yourself. And you look and you're like, how did I fall that way? How did I do that? And all I can tell you is like, look, sin has consequences. And sometimes man won't forgive you. God will if you truly repent. But sin does have consequences. And I got to make that very clear. It does have consequences. But the deal is when you fall, because we all are going to get to a point at some point, and hopefully we don't, but you know, it's pretty inevitable. In fact, some of us do it pretty often here. Now, you know, I got to be careful. I'm a leader and I'm held to a higher standard. And I understand that people watch my life and, you know, even if I'm out with my wife on a date night or something, you know, if I'm drinking, you know, somebody may say, hey, there's Coconato drinking, you know, so that could cause somebody to stumble. So I adhere to a scripture that says, avoid even the appearance of evil. And I do my very best to live a very highly consecrated life. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you follow me 24/7 with a camera, there will be some point where I'd probably let you down. I'd probably disappoint you. And because I'm a human being, and I think a lot of pastors, you know, we put them on pedestals. Now, I'd be really stupid if I did something that, you know, I fell, and that's why I have accountability, you know, and I have people in my life, friends and family members, my wife and, you know, elders that keep me accountable. And I would just explain to everybody on here, we need accountability. That's why I say we can't be disconnected like a lonely island somewhere. Okay, now I'm not talking about loneliness, and we could talk about that in a minute. What I'm talking about is you can't be like a lone ranger as a believer. We're meant to be part of the body. We're grafted in the vine. We're meant to be part of the body of Christ. We are the hands and arms and legs and feet of Jesus Christ. We're his body here on earth, and that means we're meant to fellowship. Do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Now, that we have an online community. Many people have asked me about this. They say, you know, what if my church is this church and I live in Arkansas or live in Canada? We're part of a body. This is a body. And we fellowship with one another. And we hold it. Many of you can, you know, communicate with me almost daily, some of you. And oftentimes you reach out and, you know, some of you maybe only once in a while, or you'll email or something. And I'm thankful for that. We need to be connected. We are a connected body of Christ. And we are body believers that God has done something very special in this hour. And if you've never reached out and you want to reach out, you can reach out at pastortodd.org. And I might not get back to you right away, but I will get back to you at some point. I will. And, you know, I appreciate the texts and emails, and we get a lot. But I'm excited because God is connecting like-minded remnant believers. And many of us have lived in places where we can't find a remnant church in our community. There's not a pastor that's standing. There's not somebody that's speaking the entirety of the Word of God, teaching the entirety of the Word of God. And there's not, you know, there's not watchmen. A very sad situation. There's not watchmen in certain places, and there's not people that are actually talking about the very many things that we talk about. This week, I had some evangelists on the broadcast on the radio show. If you haven't listened to it, go back into the podcast. And I said, what's really happening in Hawaii? And, you know, my wife listened to it. My mother-in-law listened to it. They said, wow, you know, I mean, these are evangelists that live out in Hawaii that had it on the Lord to share what they've experienced with the fires. And it was a much different story than what you hear on the mainstream corporate media. This is the remnant coming together in this hour and us sharing. And I'm not saying it's like 100% fact, but what we're doing is we're sharing information and we're informing one another. We're watchmen on the wall. So there's no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that neither day nor death or life nor angels nor demons nor the present or the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love that God has in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to say that again. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I also talked about a second ago, there is therefore no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. If you are holding condemnation over yourself, I had somebody reach out to me the other day. They said I was an ex-stripper, you know, and now I'm trying to be Christian, but I feel so dirty and I feel like God doesn't love me. And, you know, I just feel like I'm a whore. I feel like I'm, you know, this is literally what the person was saying. You know, by the way, I don't speak to anybody one-on-one in person like that, just out of safety and security, any women, just so you know, but I do speak to many of you who are women, but you know, my wife is always in the loop and I'm very careful because of accusation these days. So I gotta be, we're in a really crazy world. The devil's looking to accuse us. And I gotta just say that because I know people's, you know, minds start going to the gutter, especially when I talk about a stripper or something like that. But let me just explain it. So this person said, I feel like I'm dirty. You know, I stripped for many years. I was a dancer. You know, they call themselves dancers. And now I'm trying to find God, but it's like, I just, you know, I lived a very promiscuous lifestyle and, you know, I just feel like I'm, you know, she used the word H-O-R-E or whore or whatever, you know, and it's like, I don't want to say that on a broadcast, but that's what she said. And I said, that's not who you are. I said, let me tell you something. I said, the old has passed away. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She said, yes. I said, you are a new creation of Jesus Christ. There is therefore no condemnation. She said, but what about all my sins? I said, you don't even know what I did when I was in the world. God is calling the misfits. He's calling the prodigals. He's calling the least of these. Who did he hang around with? Mary Magdalene. The scripture talks about the fact that she was a prostitute. Why is it that Christians don't want to talk about these things? We're like afraid of these things. We're afraid to, oh my gosh, that person's too dirty. Why? How are they too dirty? It didn't Christ come for sinners? You see, I cheated on my spouse before. Okay, did you repent? Did you move forward in your life? Did you get on your face and repent before the Lord? Then you know what? You're a new creation. I had an abortion, Pastor Todd. Okay, did you repent? Yes. Okay, you're a new creation. There is therefore no condemnation. Pastor Todd, I have several people in the last couple of weeks that have shared with me that they used to freebase. They used to literally shoot up in their you know, in their veins, just shoot up. And they said, I almost died. You know, and I can relate to that. I didn't shoot up. I never shot up. But when I was in Hollywood, I definitely did, you know, what they called party drugs and things like that. And, you know, designer drugs, things like that. And you know, there were times, I mean, the Lord spared my life. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it was many, many years ago. Thank God. I'm a new creation. I'm so tired of the people that make Christians feel like they're dirty and they're mess. Look, that is who Christ came for. Stop beating yourself up over something you did in the past. I don't care what it is. Whatever you've done is under the blood of Jesus. If you've repented of your sin and unrighteousness, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Hallelujah. You are made new. You are made new by the blood. This is the story of the Romans road. This is the story of the Romans road, is that this is the gospel. But think about the message that we have. Go and make disciples of the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel message. It is the most amazing, important, timely, powerful message that we could possibly share with anybody. Why wouldn't we want to share? We have the answer as Christians. We have the solution. I want you to get the fire. I want you to be fired up in this season. We have the solution. I know the world is crazy. I know the world is passing away. And it looks so dark and it looks so dim and it looks so hopeless. But we, in Jesus Christ, have the answer. Hallelujah. Just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. I want you to think about it right now. On my best day of preaching, I can't make you feel anything. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of living God. I want you to be fired up. I want you to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. I want you to not conform to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to speak to the lonely people on here because I know some of you have been dealing with loneliness. I want to just share about this for a few minutes. You know, I was lonely after I gave my heart to the Lord. You know, I had come into the church and praise God, there was this guy, one guy took me under his wing for a season and really rebuked me. He rebuked me about a lot of things that I was doing. You know, at the time I was, you know, sleeping with people outside of marriage, you know, and he said, that's absolutely wrong. You can't do that. You know, I had to train myself. That was my life in the world in Hollywood. I didn't know any better. And he said, no, that's sin. You got to stop. I stopped. I listened to him. I had to purify myself. I had to get healing. I had to get deliverance. Listen, people see the story now. They don't know the whole story. They just see it now. You know, I walked through deliverance. I walked through healing. And it took me many, many years, by the way. Now, some people get it faster. For me, it was a several-year process of really stripping away a lot of brokenness that I had, you know, generational things. I had to get rid of anger. I had to get rid of the way I treated women. I had to get rid of my worldview that was a very fleshly, secular worldview. I had to get empowered and strengthened in my faith and get to know God. And that's why, you know, a lot of people just say, you know, right when they get saved, listen, right when I got saved, did I not want to go out and, minister, of course, because I was on fire. I mean, what the Lord had done in my life was so significant. I had a Damascus road. I did start street preaching right away. I'd set up my little keyboard on Hollywood Boulevard. I'd play tunes right on Hollywood Boulevard. People would come and the Lord ministered to people out there. And there were people that were saved. And I remember a lot of crying eyes. You know, people were coming out of clubs and broken and drunk. And God would use that for his glory. But, you know, there was a period of time, though, for me after all that. And it was like probably like in my 30s, you know, when I got in my 30s and I had dated some people that were Christian and, you know, I was in Hollywood, I was a pastor at this point. And, you know, there was just a lot of actors and actresses out there. And so, you know, I dated a couple actresses. Those of you that know me at that time, you remember it was brutal. Some of them were nice, some of them weren't, but I went through a lot in my dating experiences and I had to learn and I had to be humbled. And I had to realize that I was actually the problem in a lot of the relationships. God had to humble my heart and show me I had insecurities. I had, you know, I'm telling you, I'm just being transparent. It took me a long time to get to a healthy state as a believer. And so we think we have it all figured out. We think that, oh, you know, I just got saved. Now I'm ready to go preach. I'm going to tell you something. There was layer after layer after layer after layer. And by the way, he's still peeling layers off me. That's why I say I'm far from perfect. The minute that we think we have it all figured out, the minute that we think we're perfect, that's actually a really dangerous point because we are going to be growing in our walk, in our maturity until the day that we die. That's what Billy Graham even said. You know, I'm forever the child in Christ until the day that I die. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I agree with that. You know, we've got to always be in a new season in growth and maturity and depth and getting into the Word of God. Don't beat yourself up for the past. We've all got skeletons. We've all got things that we're embarrassed of. We've all got things that we're ashamed of. So back to the loneliness, you know, so I was in my 30s and at this point I was consecrated and I wasn't doing the stupid things that I had done earlier. And for a season there, I was really lonely. I was single and I would go home to my apartment in Studio City and just sit there. And, you know, it's like I had weekends where I had no plans. I had a lot of friends. I had a real good, you know, friend group and everything. And at that point I had a lot of friends in Christ and pretty active social life, but you know, I really desired a romantic, you know, experience. I really wanted to be married. And, the Lord said, you're not ready. And so from like 30 to 38, it's 8 years till I met my wife. You know, I think I was like 37 when I met my wife, but you know, I got married at 38 years old. You know, people see my family and they think we're young, you know, they don't understand. I'm like 46, you know, you know, it was a long period of time where I was by myself. Now I'm sharing this because I know some of you are in a season of loneliness and I've been feeling this very strongly. And how does this have anything to do with Romans Road? Well, we've got to understand there's a need for salvation. There's a consequence of sin. There's a provision for salvation. There's a path to salvation. There's assurance of salvation. You have, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, the void filler, the Holy Spirit. And during our conference at the Remnant Revival Center, we had a speaker, Jackie Duvall. She may be watching right now. Jackie's a very active member of this community. And let me tell you something. She shared something about her testimony. You should go back and watch it. And she said, I had to marry Jesus. I had to lay that down. And listen, as a man, I also had to marry Jesus. I had to get to a place where I was full in my walk with Jesus, that Jesus was enough. Somebody needs to hear this today. And when the loneliness tries to come in, cast it down. Break that spirit. It's a spirit. It's just another way the devil tries to get us, to discourage us. And so if you're dealing with loneliness, I just want to pray with you right now. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, I pray that this person that's watching right now, if they're dealing with loneliness, that it would be broken in Jesus' name, that you would fill that void and that they would have a peace and a rest and a joy found in you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive that right now. Now, it's really not 100% in tune with the message, but I just felt as I was preaching that somebody's really struggling with this today. And so I just have to be obedient to the Lord. This message will set us up for success as a believer in understanding who we are. We're sinners that have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of those sins are death. There's a death proclamation. We should be going to hell, okay, for all eternity. But there was a provision that happened because God sent his only son. And there's a path to get that provision, to accept Jesus, to receive what was done on the cross. And then there's an assurance of that salvation found in Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, there is a teaching out there called Once Saved, Always Saved. And I want to just mention this. I've recently addressed it on Facebook, and you can go back and on my page, @RealTodCoconato, and watch that post. It's a very important post. And there's an argument that was presented about Once Saved, Always Saved. And see, here's the thing, and I'm not going to preach on that today, but I lay it out in that post. If you make a decision as a free-willed individual, you've heard the gospel message. You know the path to salvation. You understand the Romans road, and yet you've turned it down knowingly and willingly, then I believe it's like the church of Laodicea, where it says, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. Why would there be a Laodicean church? Because that's a compromised church. Why would he spit them out? Why would he make that point if the once saved, always saved was the case? Clearly, there was compromise in that church. We see compromise all over the body right now. So make sure that you are consecrated. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, you don't need to fear. If you've done these things that we've shared today, this is the path to salvation. And if you've consecrated yourself, you're living a lifestyle that is righteous before the Lord. You're doing everything you can to please the Lord, live for the Lord. You know, again, it's not works-based, but there's fruit in the life of a true believer. You shouldn't just be living the same life that you always lived, only you raise your hand one day. That's not salvation. Salvation is a complete change. It's repentance. There's a you turn from that lifestyle. Amen? This is the Romans Road. The Romans Road isn't just an ancient history or theology confined to the pages of a book. It's a living, breathing guide that can direct any lost soul to eternal life in Christ. And I urge you not only to walk this road for yourself, but to guide others on their journey too. Hallelujah. It offers a clear and structured path to understanding salvation. It's a tool for evangelism, and it's a foundation for discipleship, and it's comfort for us as believers to know that we are indeed saved because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've confessed with our mouth. We believe in our heart. We repented of our sin, and indeed we are Christians. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so I want to give you the opportunity, if you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I just want to make sure if I were to die, if I were to get killed, if Jesus were to come, I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you today, you say, Pastor Todd, I just want to make sure. Go ahead and lift your hand wherever you are right now. That's me, Pastor Todd. I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand right now, wherever you are. No one has to be with you. You could be in a room full of people. It doesn't matter. God sees the hand. And I just want you to repeat this prayer after me to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you are Lord, and I will serve you all the days of my life. I repent of sin and unrighteousness, and I confess my sins to you today, and I give you my heart and I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. Please write me at pastortodd.org. It's pastortodd.org. And we bless you. Thank you so much. It's so nice to be back this week with all of you, wherever you're watching. Follow us online on social media @RealTodCoconato. We do Firepower on Wednesday nights with Mario Murillo. I got the podcast @RealTodCoconato, Facebook page, or you can go to toddcoconato.com/podcasts with an S. And the show's up there. We're talking about a lot of things. There's teachings all week. And let me know, is this encouraging to you today? Is this strengthening you in your faith? I always love to hear from you and to get feedback. We love you, Remnant Warriors. It's an exciting season of extreme growth and Vision 24. And we will get into that more next week. God bless you. Share the broadcast if you feel led. And we'll see you soon.
This moment I can't see beyond the clouds. My doubt unfolding as thunder shakes the ground. But you were here before me. You were here before me. Hey, yeah. into the storm. I speak your holy name, Jesus. Though I can't see it now, I know you made a way. For me, nothing left to fear, 'cause you.